Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the Black Church tonight on Issues Etc. There are a lot of things that could be said, but one of the things that must be said, one of the questions that must be answered, is what is the state of Christian orthodoxy in the Black Church? Is Christian orthodoxy, scriptural, biblical, historic Christianity, being preached, sung, prayed, taught, and practiced in the Black Church today in America? It's a big question. And it's a question that we'll need to answer in the course of this conversation from several different angles. And if Christian orthodoxy is not strong in the modern Black Church, why so? We'll answer that question for sure as we talk with Dr. Jerry Buckner this evening about Christian orthodoxy in the Black Church. It's Sunday night, January the 16th. The phone lines are open for your questions and your comments on Christian orthodoxy in the Black Church. Our call-in numbers, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Again, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Buckner, is pastor of Tiburon Christian Fellowship in Tiburon, California. He's adjunct professor at Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary and author of an article in the Christian Research Journal titled, Is Christian Orthodoxy Strong in the Black Church? Dr. Buckner, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's a blessing to be on your program again.
One of the most famous Black Christian teachers, evangelists right now, he has sometimes been called the next Billy Graham, is Bishop T.D. Jakes. Is he typical of what's going on in the Black Church today?
Yes, he really is. You know, he is a person who is charismatic, that appeals to the Black community. He's emotional. He really feeds into emotionalism. He is flashy. He addresses the areas of pain and hurt and suffering and the poor and the oppressed, along with Al Sharpton and even Jesse Jackson. But the unfortunate thing about these men is that they have not taught sound theological orthodoxy. And that's the tragedy. That's the irony of the problem around us today. And so that's the thing that the church has to come to grips with in understanding that these men do not teach systematic theology. And another thing that they really feed into is the issues sometimes of racism, and that really appeals to the Black community as well as Blackness. In a large segment of the Black community, not all, the name of God is not spelled G-O-D, but B-L-A-C-K. And that's a challenge to us because there's a lot of people who try to say even God is Black and the people in the Bible was Black. So these are some real issues, and that's why we got to get people back to sound orthodoxy.
Do you think that it is widely understood that men like Bishop T.D. Jakes, the Reverend Al Sharpton, the Reverend Jesse Jackson are not teaching orthodox Christianity? Do you think that's widely understood in the Black Church?
I don't think that it really is, because a lot of people in the Black Church don't know the essentials of the historic Christian church themselves or doctrine. And because they are not aware of it, it leaves them gullible and vulnerable to whatever comes their way. And so when you have somebody like a Dr. Buckner and other Black theologians who are conservative and who teach sound doctrine and bring forth the teachings of these guys, a lot of times people in the Black community don't want to hear it because they're so caught up into the what they're doing and the success of these men and so forth that they have ignored their doctrines. And that's the thing that we have to help the people to see, that you have to balance things out and look at doctrine over everything else. And that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7, that, you know, you judge a tree by its fruits. And you know, a tree is judged by its fruits, not only what comes out outwardly, but inwardly as well. And that's what Jesus challenged the Pharisees on as well.
You say that one of the leading reasons for a lack of Christian orthodoxy in the Black Church today is that its pastors and leaders lack formal orthodox theological education. Tell us about that.
Well, that's very true, Todd. probably the number one reason for the lack of Christian orthodoxy in the black church is because of a lack of Bible, college, and seminary education. About 60% of most black pastors have no Bible college or seminary training. And there are reasons for this, and I think the big reason for this, and we must address this as well, is that white Christian orthodoxy early in history rejected many of the blacks from getting into some of the Bible colleges and seminaries. And so many of the whites and white theologians of the past have to hold up to this reality. There's a story that was told one time of a pastor, and he still talks about this. He's 104 years of age, and he talks about his experience of trying to get into a white conservative seminary back in the 60s. And they told him that he can enroll, but he can't be with the rest of the students. He have to be down in the basement. And he shares this story today. And so because of many of the blacks earlier in history was rejected towards getting into white conservative Christian seminaries and Bible colleges, and it opened up the door towards liberalism and a lot of other evils, and that's where we're at today.
Now, you also note that those black ministers who do have a formal theological education very often are educated at the most liberal school.
Yes, they really are. Matter of fact, Martin Luther King Jr., was challenged by his father, Martin Luther King Sr., and because he went in the direction of liberal seminaries, and because he was rejected at one time too, and he went to Boston, University, and went there for training, which is a liberal school, and his father really challenged him on that and said that this is a liberal school. And so as a result of him going there, he came out and became a liberal himself. And there are many reasons for this birth of liberalism, and I think the greatest reasons, there are many reasons, and I think they all kind of sound alike, is that, you know, number one, when a bibliology is denied, which is talking about the Bible, then it opens up a door towards theology being denied, which is the study of God, an attempt to try to understand God. And then once that's denied, the Christology, which is dealing with the person, nature, and work of Christ, is denied. And then after that, fourthly, comes a denial of pneumatology, which is the Greek word for pneuma, spirit, and it's a denial of that. And Paul talked about how people, he told Timothy, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then fifthly, it leads to immorality. And they all sound alike, but this is what happens in many of the churches. And unfortunately, say, this has happened in many black churches. And let me just say this, Todd, in being fair to the black church, that the black church has contributed a whole lot of good and has done a lot of good. And I think that when you talk about the subject of why isn't Christian orthodoxy strong in the black church, in fairness to the black church, that whole title is applied to all churches, really many churches, because there is a weakness in most churches, black, Latino, Asian, and Native American, where the orthodoxy is just not strong. And I've been to churches all over the country, and seminaries and Bible colleges, and when you get to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, these are areas that the churches and Bible colleges and seminaries are weak in.
With 2 minutes here before our break, Dr. Buckner, how do the doctrines like the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the vicarious atonement, bodily resurrection, these very basic creedal elements of the Christian faith straight from the Bible, are they being strongly taught and focused upon in the black church today? 2 minutes before our break.
Well, that's a very good question, Todd. They're not, because it has not been something that's been strong historically. There's a lot of strong preaching, and I validate the church, black churches, for that. But Jesus did a lot of teaching, and he did more preaching to unbelievers, and he and he taught believers. And a lot of the black churches and churches in general, we do the reversal. And so because this has not been something strong historically, it's something that's not being taught today. And that's why the black church has to wake up to the reality that orthodoxy is so important, because that's the thing that's going to put us on our guards against people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and, you know, people like Cornel West and people like James Cone, the father of the liberation movement. It's going to put us on guard against word faith teachers and the counterfeit revival and so many other false teachings and heretical teachings out there.
Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest. We're talking about Christian orthodoxy in the black church during this hour of Issues, Etc. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about those very things, those aberrant teachings, the heresies, if you will, that have rushed in to fill the vacuum left by a lack of orthodox teaching in the black church. And I must agree with Dr. Buckner. When we diagnose a disease that is found, say, in one segment of the Christian church in the United States tonight, the black church, we are, in fact, and especially in this case, diagnosing a disease that has infected much of American Christianity. The lack of orthodox Christian teaching, education, emphasis in the black church is really just a symptom of the lack of the same in American pop Christianity across the board. When we come back, we're going to talk about the false teachings that have rushed in to fill the vacuum left by a lack of Christian orthodoxy. Christian orthodoxy in the black church is our subject tonight. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Buckner, is pastor of Tiburon Christian Fellowship in Tiburon, California, adjunct professor at Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, and author of an article in the Christian Research Journal titled, Is Christian Orthodoxy Strong in the Black Church?
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What's the relationship between the Oprah Winfrey Show and pop American Christianity? How have psychology, emotionalism, and feminism left the church unmanned? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next Issues, Etc. journal titled, Church is for Girls. And you can get a free complimentary copy of the next Issues, Etc. journal by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. Plus, Pastor Tim Pauls has written an article titled, The Problem of Pietism. Should subjective feelings trump objective truth? Find out with the next Issues, Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Vicar Stephen Parks came to a Christ-centered understanding of baptism and the Lord's Supper. 1-800-737-0172. If you enjoy Issues, Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues, Etc. journal. 1-800-737-0172. You know, you have to wonder, how is it that there can be a dearth of good, sound, orthodox Christian teaching in the church today when one needs look no farther than the first few pages of the New Testament to find our Lord himself teaching the church, not fluffy things, not liberation theology, not fly-by-night type of theologies that come and go, but sound teaching from the mouth of our Lord himself. It's really the subject of our Issues, Etc., book of the month for January, titled Discourses in Matthew, there in the first book of the New Testament. Discourses in Matthew, Jesus Teaches the Church, is authored by Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. David Scare. You can order Discourses in Matthew by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number is 1-800-325-3040. The book costs $29.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. Or if you'd like to find out more about Discourses in Matthew, go to our website, issuesetc.org. It's right there on the homepage. Now, when you call, tell them that you heard about this book and you heard it promoted on Issues, Etc., the Issues, Etc. book of the month for January, Discourses in Matthew, Jesus Teaches the Church, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Buckner, we're right upon the day that we celebrate as a country the life and the work and, of course, the tragic death of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Since his time, there has been a theology that's grown up, not only in the black church, but other churches as well. It's called liberation theology. It teaches that God is not really about liberating us from sin and its guilt so much as from poverty, social oppression, that God has a special favor upon those who are oppressed or disenfranchised or poor, and a special disfavor perhaps for those who are on the other side of the coin in society. It's a particularly virulent form of kind of a social gospel. How much has liberation theology influenced the black church?
Todd, it has influenced the black church tremendously because many of the theologians and writers today are liberal theologians. And James Cone, who is the father of the liberation movement, has influenced the black church tremendously in many ways. This has infiltrated itself into the black church, and again, there are black churches out there that has not allowed this to happen, conservative black churches, but many of them have allowed this liberation theology to come inside their churches. And a lot of people don't understand this, Todd, but liberation theology in its origin really didn't start in Africa, because a lot of people think that liberation theology really had its origins in Africa. Really, it had its origins in way back there when you're talking about classism and Marxism and stuff like that, because Marxism really talked a lot about classism and talked about race and those sort of issues. And so when you deal with Marxism, it's not only talking about classism and race, but socialism. And so what happened was early in history that many of the black theologians was influenced by Marxism and allowed that to influence them, along with grabbing a little bit out of Africa. And so when you put these two together, this is what has come into the black church. And unfortunately, again, black liberation theology does not teach the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And when we say essentials of the historic Christian faith, and I must define that, we're talking about the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection, the atonement, the second coming of Christ. I had the privilege of interviewing James Cone, the father of the black liberation movement, and I interviewed him for an hour. And during that time, I started asking him questions about the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and he got so angry with me because he started cursing at me and saying, you know, Jesus Christ was not God manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ was a social liberation movement leader, and that he had nothing to do with these things that people are talking about in the churches today. And so he got extremely angry with me, and I told him, look, you know, I'm just trying to get to the heart of the Bible. The Bible teaches in the essentials, but he didn't agree with that. And so the mindset of James Cone is the same mindset that's in churches that are liberation, black liberation movement churches.
Let's talk about some of the other teachings that have rushed in to fill that vacuum that's left by a lack of solid scriptural teaching in the black church. And this, of course, as you pointed out before the break, is hardly unique to the black church. But let's talk about them one by one in rapid fashion here. The word faith movement, the prosperity gospel, name it and claim it teaching. Tell us about that.
Yes, the name it and claim it movement really is a movement that really has its heart and its teachings in occultism, because it really goes in occultism, because it goes back to a mysterious, you know, name it and claim it, that goes back to an occulted thing that of a force, and you know, you can, you know, with this force of faith, you can name it and claim it and that sort of thing. It's a frightening teaching because it not only teaches that faith is a force, but it also teaches things such as the reality that man literally can become a god. And they also teach that Jesus literally on the cross had a transformation of nature, and this is the thing that Joyce Myers teaches, and had a transformation of nature and had became demonic on the cross and had to die and go to hell to be born again. So when you have people like Fred Price and Creflo Dollar, it's interesting that their name is Price and Dollar. And that's saying a lot because there's so much into money as well. And then when you get people like Hagen, Kenneth Hagen and Copeland and Jan and Paul Crouch, and you get people like Benny Hinn, and you get many others that are involved with that sort of movement, these people are word faith teachers, and they're dangerous. They do not teach the essentials of the historic Christian faith.
One phenomenon that has been noted among black churches, and this is something that's pretty much headquartered here in the area where we're broadcasting from, St. Louis, oneness Pentecostalism that essentially denies the historic doctrine of the Trinity and as a teaching in its place. Why is this so popular in black churches?
Well, let me say just one more thing about the word faith, and then I'll get to that.
Sure.
The Pentecostal oneness is that also, I want to add this, that E.W. Kenyon was the father of the Word Faith movement, and he really got a lot of occultic principles and applied them to faith and that sort of thing. Now, getting to the Word Faith movement, that's one thing, and then getting to the Pentecostal oneness movement. The Pentecostal oneness movement, and I may say this, that T.D. Jakes is a part of that, and T.D. Jakes, he will say that he believes in the Trinity, but he doesn't. And let me just define what the Pentecostal oneness movement is. The Pentecostal movement is not something new. It started way back in the 3rd century under a leader by the name of Sabellius, and he influenced modalism. And the teaching was that Jesus at one time in history manifested himself as the Father, and then at another time in history manifested himself as the Son, another time as the Holy Spirit, but it's Jesus only. So Jesus is not three. You know, Jesus is not considered, when you look at the Pentecostal oneness, he's not considered one separate person from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but he's also Jesus only, and that is, he's the Father. He took on the title Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in history, and it's Jesus only. And they also teach that you have to be baptized in Jesus' name only and speak in tongues in order to be saved. So when T.D. Jakes says that he believes in the Trinity, he has redefined it and changed it to literally mean that Jesus is literally the Father in manifesting himself one time in history, the Son and the Holy Spirit, but he's Jesus only. And they're a dangerous cultic movement, and people need to be aware of this, and it's dangerous. I had a chance to talk to some of the leaders in the Potter's House.
Let's pick up on that thought when we come back from the break. We're going to go to a break here real quick, and when we come back, we'll let Dr. Buckner finish his thought there on oneness Pentecostalism and its popularity in the black church today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Today, everyone hails Jesus as a great teacher. But what did Jesus really teach? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Discourses in Matthew, Jesus Teaches the Church by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. David Scare. Discourses in Matthew is $29.99 plus shipping and handling. Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Discourses in Matthew, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or go online to our website, issuesetc.org, and look under the What's New section for more information and a way to order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Discourses in Matthew, Jesus Teaches the Church, by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. David Scare.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Dr. Charles Geeshan of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Geeshan, tell us about the 2005 Symposia Series there at Concordia Theological Seminary.
Well, every year in January, this year it'll be Tuesday, January 18th through Friday, January 21st. We have pastors and laity from across the United States, as well as we have some visitors from various parts of Europe and other places in the world that converge here in Fort Wayne. And we have a focus on biblical study as far as picking a topic this year. It's Who is Jesus? The Church's Response to Christological Controversies. And that's for a day and a half. And then the second half of it is the symposium on the Lutheran Confessions. And that's focusing on the topic of the third use of the law, which is one that's always an important topic. The whole question of sanctification in our Christian life is very closely connected to third use of the law. So one can't go wrong between focusing on the person of Jesus for a day and a half and then the life that he gives us and the role of the law in that life during those days, namely January 18 through the 21st, 2005, here in Fort Wayne.
So then, how would a layperson benefit from attending this symposia series?
Well, you know, I think that it's always important to see that the study of theology through the Scriptures and as the Scriptures have been confessed in our Lutheran confessions is certainly it's the life of pastors, but it's also the life of the whole church. And to see and hear the pastors and professors of our church engage these questions and to participate in that, you know, can only be an encouraging, I think, edifying experience for the laity of our congregation and building their faith and trust in their Lord Jesus as well as their understanding of how their church, namely their seminaries, their pastors, their professors, are passionate and concerned about the truth and sharing that truth of our Lord Jesus.
For more information about the 2005 Symposia Series, January the 18th through the 21st, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look under the What's New section, issuesetc.org.
This is a place for forming pastors, not just an academic ivory tower.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Leonard Payton on his experience as a student at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Certainly great Bible teaching. Professors are godly men, and they have time for students. Several professors are deep in pastoral experience. This is a place for forming pastors, not just an academic ivory tower. A well-planned daily chapel program models the conduct of the service. We learn what to do. Fort Wayne has decent schools and lots of strong, unashamedly Lutheran churches. It's been a great place for me and my family.
For more information or to schedule an on-campus visit, call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155 or visit them on the web, www.ctsfw.edu. Well, about this time tomorrow night, we should be arriving in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where we're going to be broadcasting live from the 2005 Symposia Series at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's January the 18th through the 21st, and it's still not too late to register for this Symposia Series. This year's themes are Who is Jesus? And the Third Use of the Law. Now, for a complete list of speakers, symposia schedule, or to register online, you still can do that by now. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. It's the 2005 Symposia Series this week, January the 18th through the 21st at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll be there. We hope to see you there as well. We're talking about Christian Orthodoxy in the Black Church. Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest. Before the break, you started a thought, Dr. Buckner, and you were telling us about some dealings you had with T.D. Jakes' Potter's House.
That is so true, Todd, and I had an opportunity to talk to the assistant to T.D. Jakes. He's the voice for T.D. Jakes, Lawrence Robertson, and I had a long discussion with him about the Trinity and that sort of thing, because a lot of people say, well, you know, you don't have enough evidence, we don't believe it. Well, they can also look at my article that I did in 2000 and the year 2000 on the T.D. Jakes, and I dealt with him in deep detail in that and demonstrated his heresies as well as some of the contributions that he's done. But getting back to Lawrence Robinson, I asked him about the doctrine of the Trinity, and he said, yes, we are a Pentecostal oneness group, and we do believe that Jesus is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then I talked to one of the secretaries, and I asked her about it. She's the top secretary in the Potter's House, and she says, yes, we believe in the Trinity, but the Trinity is, you have to look at it like 10 pennies and 2 nickels and 1 dime. They're all the same. And so the thing that's the summary of all this for T.D. Jakes is that T.D. Jakes is much more dangerous than the Jehovah's Witnesses because they are not in denial about denying the Trinity, but T.D. Jakes will redefine it and misinterpret it, and he's even more scurrier.
How big of a threat is the Nation of Islam theologically to the black church?
Well, that is an excellent question. The Nation of Islam is a tremendous threat to the church in so many ways. And I think the greatest threat that they are to the church is that they deny the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And at the same time, they claim to be Christians. They literally deny that Jesus Christ is God, that he's not the Savior, the only Savior of the world. And they teach that Elijah Muhammad is really the Savior of the world. And even Farrakhan, in a sermon in 1994, he came forth and said, you know, I'm the one that really died on the cross for your sins. You know, I'm the one that you're looking for. And they, at one of the Savior's Day conferences, they quoted Isaiah 9 and 6, relating it to Farrakhan, saying that he's the Savior as well. They're a dangerous group of people, and they appeal to racism. That's the thing that draws so many blacks into the movement, as well as they have a tremendous programs for young black men who don't have fathers and don't have mentors in their lives. And this is a real wake-up call to the black church that we got to address the issues of racism, even the white church and all churches, because the churches today, Todd, has been impotent, weak, when it comes to the issue of racism. And Billy Graham one time was asked on Diane Sawyer's program, he was challenged, and she asked him, she said, Billy Graham, when you look back at your life and you rehearse it, is there anything that you would have done better if you had a chance to do it all over again? He says, I would address the issues of racism more boldly. And this is a thing, when you look at conservative Christian theology, even though I'm conservative myself, when you look at white conservative theology today and theologians, this is a wake-up call to the white church that they got to address the issues of racism, because if they don't, a lot of blacks are going to continue to go in the directions of liberalism and cultic structures. And the white churches have been strong in the area of dealing with homosexuality, dealing with euthanasia and abortion and the political issues. But when it comes to the issue of racism, this is the area where the church is weak, and we got to deal with it, and we got to balance out everything we do.
We talk a lot about, on Issues, et cetera, we talk a lot about the feminization of the church, that the church is becoming more therapeutic than theological in its outlook, that there's an emphasis on subjective feeling rather than objective truth. The whole Sunday morning experience becomes very experiential in this feminization. Has the black church also been feminized?
I would say that some have, but not all, and I think it would be an injustice to categorize all of them, but there is a segment of the black community. Matter of fact, there are some black churches I've known who have gone forth to say, you know, you can't even refer to God as a he, you know. You have to refer to him as a neutral, that he's neither he or she, he's neutral. And there have been some who said that he's a she, and a he. It's really confusing stuff. Now, but when it comes to the feminization, yes, it is a problem, because you have a lot of young blacks, males, who have left the black churches because they have not seen a lot of black males there and a lot of black leaders who are males. And this has been the drawing power of somebody like a Louis Farrakhan. I said Farrakhan because he's a con man. That's a good name for him. But, Malcolm X used to stand out after every mosque meeting in front of a black church, and this is well documented. He would stand in front of a black church, and he would literally say to some of his leaders, "We're going to get a lot of blacks out of these churches when they come out of them." And he did, because he would stand out of there with his, thin black tie and his white shirt and his suit, and he would say to some of them, the people that came out, "My brothers and sisters, what did you get out of that?" And some of them would say, the preacher really preached. And he would say, "Well, what did they preach on?" And he says, "We don't know, but he really did preach." And so he said, "Now, look, you come over to the mosque, and we will give you a real understanding." And they drew them in because they had a lot of young black males there, about 18 to 35 years of age, young black men, are hungry for leaders that are black and wanting to be mentored. And when you look at so many black males today who don't have fathers and they're fatherless, they are hungry for black leaders. And Farrakhan has mastered in that area. So they're a real threat, Todd, and it's something that the church has to wake up to.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phones and talk with Perry, who listens in St. Louis on KSIV. Perry, thank you for being patient. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, thanks for having me. Doctor, the first question that I wanted to ask you is, do you think that it's the lack of solid theology is more prominent in the black church than it is like the white churches and the Hispanic churches?
Well, that's a very good question, Perry, and let me just say this, that I would say that when it comes to orthodoxy and creeds and those sort of things, it's really a strong thing that I've seen in many of the black churches. In many of the white churches, I take that back, in many of the white churches, but the black churches seem to master in a lot of the areas of programs and emotionalism and a lot of areas where the Sunday school materials and those sort of things are very strong, and literature and missions and board groups and that sort of thing. But there's a problem on both hands. The black church has been strong in addressing the issues of socialism and racism. The white church has been weak in that area, but it's been stronger in the area of orthodoxy, and that's an area that the black church is weak in. Now, there are some black pastors who, there's a small percentage, but I must give them validation, who are conservative black pastors who come out of Bible colleges and seminaries, who have learned the essentials and who have gone into their churches and taught them these things. But being an African-American leader myself and traveling all over the states and doing lectures on the Trinity, I just find that most of them just don't know it, and that's a weakness.
Mike is calling from Washington, D.C., and he listens on WAVA. Mike, welcome to Issues, Etc. Mike, we'll get your question in here and the answer on the other side of the break. What's your question?
Yes, I have a question. In terms of, I thank the speaker for mentioning the portion about metaphysics, and one is Pentecostalism concerning T.D. Jakes. I'm kind of disgruntled a little bit with my church I go to. I haven't been there in a while anyway, so, because they're affiliated with T.D. Jakes, and I really like to break away from that. And my question is, can you mention anything concerning the Sousa Revival, like it occurred, 1906?
Right, Mike, thank you very much for the question. And when we come back from this break, Dr. Jerry Buckner will answer that question about the Azusa Revival, the beginning of what many say the kind of the Pentecostal movement in the United States. Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest. We're talking about Christian orthodoxy in the black church. Next week on the program, we're going to discuss pietism with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn. My church is too preoccupied with doctrine. It's dying. It's not spiritual. It needs more life and feeling. It needs more love and good works. It needs to focus on the practical spiritual needs of people. These are all statements common to pietism, and we'll talk about it next week on Issues, Etc. with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. you'd like to know what we'll be discussing in the weeks ahead, check out our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at the website, issuesetc.org, be sure to read several articles written by our guest in this hour, Dr. Jerry Buckner, including Is Christian Orthodoxy Strong in the Black Church? Issuesetc.org. When we come back, Dr. Buckner's response to Mike's question about the Azusa Revival and your phone calls and the conclusion of this hour's conversation with Dr. Jerry Buckner. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, Etc. Here's our mailing address. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. You can use either of those to get a complimentary copy of the next Issues, Etc. journal, or to find out how to contact our guest in this hour, Dr. Jerry Buckner, or to make a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. The address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Dr. Buckner, before the break, Mike was on the line. He had two questions. First of all, his church is affiliated with T.D. Jakes. What would your advice to him be for someone who's in a church, a black church, that's affiliated with Bishop Jakes?
Well, that's a very good question, Todd. I would say this, and it conjures up something that my friend Don Vino had brought to my attention, because he had shared with me that he had sent my article to the Willow Creek Community Church because they had allowed T.D. Jakes to come in. And when he challenged them, some people were calling him a racist. And then he says, well, let me have one of the African-American brothers I know who's conservative send you, have one of his articles sent to you. And when it was sent to him, they still overlooked it and just said, you know, we are more concerned about T.D. Jakes' method more than his message. This is terrible to hear this sort of thing. This is an abomination to hear this. And yet a lot of churches are compromising dealing with the method over the message. And I would just say this, that it is very clear in, believe, 2 John 10, that we must look at Scripture over everything else, over the method. And the Scripture makes it very clear. If anyone comes to our home, meaning the church in that day, and bring not the doctrine of Christ, not to let him into the home, nor bid him Godspeed. This is very clear what the Lord said through John to the elect lady. And so the Bible is very clear that we are not to associate with false teachers other than trying to reach them for the cause of Christ. And so that's the first thing I would say. And about the Azusa Revival, it's a lot around that. It's such a heavy subject. But let me just say this, just to tap into it. It gave birth to the Pentecostal movement in this country, and the sad thing about it is that when you do tremendous research and look at the background of it, a lot of groups that were Pentecostal kind of merged together, and they based a lot of their experiences of one's feelings and emotions, that, and when it comes to sound orthodoxy, had no place in it. And so, and a lot of occultism, because a lot of Hinduistic occultism became a part of the Azusa revival, and it became a part of that as well. So it's a very frightening thing, and I give no credence to it because it was based upon experience and occultism, and it's dangerous from that perspective.
Marlene listens at Wisconsin Rapids on WGNV. Marlene, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello, thank you for your show.
Sure.
I have a T.D.J. Jakes book. It's called Can You Stand to Be Blessed? And I've read half of it, but I'm wondering, are you saying that he's leading people away from Jesus Christ as our Savior? And has he always done this? And does he know he's doing that?
Thank you very much, Marlene. Dr. Buckner.
Marlene, that's a very good question. I think that T.D. Jakes, at one time, he was came out of the Baptist Church earlier in history. And I don't believe that he was taught any sound doctrine, and because of that, he became exposed to false teaching. But the reality is that there are many people who have addressed him. Myself, Hank Hanegraaff have, and other theologians who are specialists in the field of apologetics, and he still ignores it. I mean, we even confronted him regarding changing his website to Manifestations to Distinctions, and he didn't want to do it because manifestation is a real cultic term when it comes to saying that Jesus manifested himself as one time as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. T.D. Jakes is a very dangerous person, even though it on the surface he's doing a lot for people's emotions and feeding into women and men and children and that sort of thing. You know, you first have to look at a person's doctrine over everything else, because if the doctrine is not right, everything else is thrown off.
Finally, before we conclude this hour's conversation, if as you peruse the landscape of the Black Christian Church today, and you come to the conclusion that Christian orthodoxy is not strong there, how will it be restored to the Black Church? Christian orthodoxy, sound scriptural teaching. About 1 minute.
Okay. Let me just say this, that the way it's going to be restored is that there's going to be, need to be a revival amongst the young ministers that are coming up to go to Bible colleges and seminaries and to be mentored under people like a Dr. Buckner and others like me. And it's going to have to be a revival in that sense in order to change the young generation around to affect the future generation. And to the older pastors have to be open to allow these young men who have been trained to come in and equip them. And it can happen if we do it. And also one other point before you go to the next commercial is that they need to allow people like a Dr. Buckner and others who are specialists like myself to come in and equip their people, because they have revivals all the time and anniversaries, those things that they master in, but they need to master more so in having somebody like myself to come in and equip the congregation in the area of the essentials.
How would you respond to someone who simply says that you, in terms of your theological assessment of the Black Church, are an Uncle Tom? How would you respond to that?
Well, I am an uncle, but I'm not an Uncle Tom.
Uncle Jerry.
Let me just respond to it by this way, because that's a very good point, Tom. I would just simply say, look at the evidence before you call anybody a name or anything like that. And that's what most people don't do, because they need to not judge people unless they weigh the evidence and have an open mind towards it. And because a lot of people have called me an Uncle Tom, and they've called me even a white boy. But, you know, when you look at me, I'm a dark guy. So, you know, I'm not a white guy. And so, but the reality is this, is that look at the evidence before you judge anyone. And then if you're a real Christian, never call anybody an Uncle Tom or any name. Just investigate the evidence and then let the evidence speak for itself.
Folks, we're going to give away copies of a great book next hour for the best callers and emailers with a question or a comment on Christian orthodoxy in the Black Church for our guest, Dr. Jerry Buckner. It's titled The Truth Will Set You Free. It's an autobiography about a faithful Black pastor named Samuel Horde. Our call number, Call in number 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now remember, you won't be able to listen to this next hour on the radio. It's only on the internet. To listen on the internet in the next hour live, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click on the Listen Online link. It's right there along the left side of the homepage, issuesetc.org. Click on Listen Online. Now, we're coming to you live this Sunday night, January the 16th. Write this number down and call during this break if you're getting a busy signal. Just keep trying, because we're going to be freeing up these phone lines right on the other side of the break. And we're especially hopeful of hearing from our black listeners during this next hour's conversation with Dr. Jerry Buckner. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. What are we really talking about in the course of this hour as we diagnose in the black church a lack of Christian orthodoxy in teaching and practice? What's behind it? Certainly, Dr. Buckner has pointed out in practical terms what's really behind it here. It's a lack of theological education for the clergy and for the people, therefore. And that is really a lack of involvement in God's Word itself. When we talk about educating oneself in historic Christian orthodoxy, we're not talking about going and learning a complicated systematic theology, although, folks, that wouldn't hurt you. It didn't hurt anybody to learn good, sound theology. We're talking about being involved in God's Word itself. That's all theology is. And all theology, as one of my dear friends and guests often points out, is Christology. That's the real point here. This is really a problem, not because it's just a lack of knowledge or of discernment. But if one has a theology that is deficient and weak, that means that one's Christology, that is what one knows of Christ and learns of Christ and has of Christ, is also lacking. Is it any wonder that what you hear preached in the black church, and then also in broader evangelicalism as well, is no longer Christ-centered and cross-focused? When Christian orthodoxy has suffered by a lack in those churches? No, it's no wonder at all. If the cross will be preached with clarity and with boldness in the face of all sorts of errors, and in the face of those who want to preach something other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we return to God's Word, where the cross stands front and center. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.